Hello, Believe Nation. I'm Evan Carmichael. My one word is believe, and I believe that entrepreneurs are going to solve all of the world's major problems. I started the Mentor Me series with the goal to try to learn from people who've done a lot more than us, people who have done amazing things, that by spending a little bit more time with them, hopefully some of their values, their belief systems, their way of thinking seeps into us to help us become the best version of ourselves. So today we're going to learn from Bishop T.D. Jakes and some of his best motivation. Mentor me, Bishop Jakes. Rule number one is my personal favorite, and I'd love to know which one you guys like the best. And as always, guys, as you're watching, if you hear something that really resonates with you, please leave it down in the comments below and put quotes around it so other people can be inspired as well. And when you write it down, it's much more likely to stick with yourself too. Enjoy.
Life demands that you pick up the pace. If you don't pick up the pace, you're going to be left behind. I'm amazed at the people that lack the flexibility to pick up the pace. They just get in a rut. I stroll down here, and I'm gonna stroll back. I'm gonna stroll over here. I'm gonna stroll over there. One of the most amazing things about the disaster at Malaysia is that when it happened, everybody had to pick up the pace. All the news media had to pick up the pace. They were booking night flights and flying over here and flying over there. Somebody had to work overtime. Won't be home for 3 days. Typing in the middle of the night. Research going on. Because when something happens, everybody got to pick up the pace. That's why I can't deal with people who cannot pick up the pace. Don't be strolling when I got a 911 on you. I need people who can pick up the pace. Slap your neighbor and say, pick up the pace. Something is about to happen. Pick up the pace, something is about to happen. Pick up the pace, something is about to happen. Pick up the pace, something is about to happen. Pick up the pace, something is about to happen. Pick up the pace, something is about to happen. I came to tell the young people, pick up the pace, pick up the pace, pick up the pace, something is about to happen. The danger of low expectations. I would rather aim for the stars and not hit them than to not aim at all. I would rather go after it and not get it than not go after it at all. I'd rather try and fail than not try at all. I don't want to live with the idea, wonder what would have happened had I done more with my life. I'm going to go for it, come hell or high water. I'm going after my destiny. Touch your neighbor and say, run. You gotta run after your destiny. You can't stroll after your destiny. You can't walk after your destiny. You gotta run. Somebody holler, run. You gotta run. You gotta run. You gotta run. You can't just wake up in the morning and let me see what's gonna happen today. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know what I'm gonna wear. I don't know what I'm gonna cook. I don't know where I'm gonna go. I just woke up. Oh, you should stay in the bed. Give the day to somebody who's gonna run after their destiny. Give the day to somebody who has a plan, who has a strategy, because success is never an accident. And if you don't want it, get out of my way. Because there are some people who want to do something with their life, who will run. Paul writes to Timothy and says, I fought a good fight. Letting him know, being me is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not in my suits. You can get suits like me, but they won't make you stand like me. I fought a good fight, baby. I fought one hell of a fight. Are there any fighters in here? Slap somebody and tell them I fought a good fight. I fought my way up. I fought to get to work. I fought to get up on my feet. I fought to stand. I fought to carry on. I fought to love. I fought to live. I fought to get out of the bed. I fought with my fears, my doubts, my anxieties, my insecurities. I fought with haters, liars, backbiters, and betrayers. I even had to fight with family. And many times I laid in the bed, I couldn't go to sleep because I was fighting with myself. I fought. I know I put in him what it takes to withstand the pressure. Slap your neighbor and say, you don't know what you got. You don't know what you've got until all hell breaks loose. You don't know what you can take until the pressure is applied to your life. You don't know what you can endure until people stab you in the back and walk away from you. You don't know how much courage you have until you've been under fire and under struggle and under tribulation. You can't learn what's in you sitting back in a lazy boy chair hitting the remote control, watching HBO and Cinemax. But when all hell breaks loose, that's when you get to see what you got. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm made of something. I didn't get to see the design. I didn't get to see the architectural plans, but I know I'm made of some good stuff. I can tell by the burdens I bear and the load I carry and the stuff I endure. I shock myself at what I'm able to take. It's not just that I shock my enemies. I shock myself. They said I was going to die, and I believed it. But through hell and high water, I'm still here.
To be anxious is to have anxiety about something that hadn't even happened yet. Some of you are so worried by the threat of trouble. You're not in trouble, it's just that trouble has threatened you. And the threat of what might happen, what could happen, is wearing you down. Half of the things that you thought were going to happen never did happen. But if you allow those thoughts to dwell in your mind, it will succeed at robbing you of your peace, robbing you of your joy, robbing you of your life, just because you thought yourself into a nervous breakdown. You thought yourself into depression. You thought yourself into defeatism. The mind is the battleground. The fight is in your mind. So I want to challenge you to waste no more effort wrestling with other people. Oh, I lost you. I lost you. You were doing real good. I lost you. Your destiny, your future is not predicated on the decision of someone else. You've wasted too much of your life trying to change other people's mind about you. It doesn't matter what they think about you. God is not going to bless you by their opinion. God is going to bless you by how you see yourself. Touch somebody and say, I believe I'm coming out. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what I'm going to have to go through. I don't know what I'm going to lose along the way. But I still believe that I'm coming out. I've been broke. I've been busted and disgusted. But I still believe that I'm coming out. I'm locked up in prison. They say I'll never get out, but I still believe that I'm coming out. I'm coming out if I don't have nowhere to stay. I'm coming out if my husband married somebody else. I'm coming out if I don't have no job. I'm coming out. Oh. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money, but I kept down on my knees. I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was.
Test three people and tell them, keep the faith, keep the faith.
If you lose a job, keep the faith. If you lose a spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wits' end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to thumb, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith. Have you ever noticed that when your faith is the strongest, you come up under the greatest attack? Because every time the devil senses that you're about to walk into who you be, he knows next you're going to do something. And he's trying to stop you from doing it. Slap somebody and say, just do it. The enemy is trying to stop you from doing it because every time you have a being moment, he tries to detour you, because as soon as you figure out who you are, you're going to do exploits. Slap somebody and say, I got something to do. That's why all hell is breaking loose in my life. I got something to do. That's why I keep going through storms and setbacks. I got something to do. That's why I keep getting sick in my body. I got something to do. That's why the devil keeps bringing up my past, because I got something to do. That's why he's trying to break my heart, because I got something. Oh, do you hear what I'm teaching this morning? Shake your neighbor's hand and say, I got something to do. To be planted is destiny concealed. To have increase is destiny revealed. So when you plant a seed, you don't plant it as if the planting were the final destination. You plant it and you can't see it anymore. Its destiny is concealed, in the hopes that ultimately it will become a stalk or of corn or an apple tree or whatever it was you planted. And in between the destiny concealed and the destiny revealed is something we call watering. And I thought, as dynamic as the text may be, to grapple with the notion of being planted and to grapple with the notion of having increase seems totally irrelevant if we don't stop by the station of watering. Because watering is the last step before increase. It is the transition point between what is concealed and what is revealed. And without the benefit of watering, the destiny will die in the ground, never reaching its potential, simply because it has never been watered. And I thought I would ask you this morning, have you ever been watered? I'm reading somebody's mail right now. You cannot embrace what I'm about to teach if you don't understand that you have been planted. You didn't grow wild. You didn't just happen. You weren't just an afterthought. You didn't just come to be. You were planted. The sperm cell that created you outswam all of the millions of other cells before you had a Bible. Before you had a Bible, before you had a hymn book, you were already in a fight, and that cell outswam all the rest because you have been planted. Well, I want to make the distinction about being planted, because the act of planting can be confusing to the student who has not watched. Because planting looks no different from burial. In order to do either one of them, you got to do some digging. And once you dig down in the ground, both of them are concealed. But one of them has a destiny and the other one does not. You bury the dead to get rid of the body, but you plant a seed so that it can go through a transformation of coming back up greater than it was when it went down. Oh, good God of mercy. that's so good, I'm gonna come over here and say it again. When you plant a seed, you're not burying it to get rid of it. You're planting it so that it can go through a metamorphosis and come back up better than it was when it went down. How many people in this room have come up better than you were? I'm better. I'm better than it was when it went down. It was good for me that I've been afflicted. For had I not been afflicted, I would have never known the glory of God. I'm better for it. I didn't like it, but I'm better for it. I couldn't see down there, but I'm better for it. You see, I was planted in a dark place where my sight didn't work for me, but I'm better for it. Every time you go through something dark and you can't see your way out, remember you've been planted, not been buried, and when you come up, I'm coming up. I'm coming up. Brother right here on the come up. I said, brother right here on the come up. Is there any sisters in here on the come up? Are there any families in here on the come up? Are there any preachers in here on the come up? You already been through hell, already been through high water, already been planted, already been in a dark place, but just because I'm in a dark place, don't expect me to stay in a dark place. Brother right here on the... Write yourself a note. I have not been buried. I have been planted. I may be underground, but I'm not buried in this mess. I'm planted in it. I'm planted in it. And if I'm planted in it, expect me to come back up again. And when I come back up, you won't recognize me because I'm going to be transformed by the experiences that I have endured.
When you talk to women about birth, they immediately think about being mothers, but I didn't come to talk to you as mothers. I came to talk to you as babies who have outgrown the parameters of the womb that you live in. I came to talk to you as living creatures who have found restrictions in the place that you once found nurture and nourishment and found yourself in prison by narrow thinking people and narrow thinking circumstances and narrow evolving predicaments. I came to tell you that you cannot feed in one realm and stay in that realm, that if you get enough on the inside of you, you will find a discomfort in staying in the dimension that you once lived in. And I came to prepare your hearts and minds. If you're not prepared to go through some bloody stuff and some dirty stuff and some stinky stuff, you don't want to keep feeding on this kind of word, because if you feed on this kind of word, it will open up your mind and open up your thinking and open up your ideas and open up your concepts until all of a sudden you are uncomfortable in what you were once comfortable in. Some of you have already begun to experience it. You're thinking on another level, and it's causing a separation. Some of you have already begun to experience it, because what used to be funny isn't funny anymore. And what you used to enjoy, you don't enjoy anymore. And what you used to be satisfied with, you're not satisfied with anymore. And all of a sudden, you don't fit in the places you used to fit in, and you don't even understand it. And they think you're acting funny, and they think you're acting strange. And they say things like, you forgot where you came from. I didn't forget it. I just can't stay in it. Tweet that. I got to get out of here.
I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here. You tell your twin you can stay in there if you want to. This might be okay for you, but I got to get out of here. Even if I have to fight my way out like Jacob and Esau, I've got to get out there. If I've got to pull and tug, I've got to get out. I've got too much vision to stay in this rut. The hardest thing to do, the hardest thing to deal with, the hardest thing to manage, the hardest thing to put up with is transition. The thing we hate the most is transition. We hate it because it takes us out of our element. It takes us out of our comfort zone. It takes us out of the place where we are secure and sure, and we've learned how to manage and control everything. You cannot control everything when you are in transition. It is what it is. It happens like it happens. I can't get my hair done and do it. I can't be pretty about it. I got to come out any way I can. I'm in transition. I can't meet with the board or talk to the committee or get everybody to approve it. When my water breaks, get ready. Here I come. If it's under a tree, if it's under a bush, if it's against the wall, when the water breaks, that's my sign. Here I come. Touch your neighbor and say, move. Move. I'm grown out of this spot. Move. I'm coming into another dimension. Move. I see a door opening for me. Move. I see divine permission to step. Move. I see the glory of God calling me. Move.
If enough people like me, then I am. How many people following you on Twitter? I got to get my following up. I got to get my friends up, because if I have popularity, ooh, y'all got quiet again. If I let me show you how many people follow me. Do you know Bishop started following? God, Bishop followed me. So I am because of who follows me, who likes me. Popularity based identity. Ooh. Performance based identity. If you do this, you'll be the son of God. If they like you, you'll be the son of God. If I give you enough possessions, you'll be. Now, let me show you something. I'm teaching just do it, okay? And yet I'm criticizing doing it to define who you are. Well, I'm confused. Should I do it or not do it? You just said, just do it. And then you turned around and said, not to define myself by what I do. Can I critique my own text? Which way is it, Reverend? Do I do it or not do it? The problem is not about doing it. It is why you do it. What I am criticizing is putting the doing before the being, so that you think that if I do this, I will be somebody. If I buy this, I will be somebody. If they like me, I will be. You got it backwards. The people that know their God shall be and then do. And because your doing doesn't come from the deeper place of being, it hasn't worked for you. Because you are who you are, you can do what you can do. But if you're trying to find out who you are by doing things, you will never find out who you are by doing. You have to start with being. So I want you to see this. I don't want to lose you in this, because the difference between the two determines the direction of your destiny. If you're always seeking a certain status to validate who you are, you're never gonna have peace. You have to know who you are. and then you can climb to the status. You can't climb up to find yourself. You have to find yourself so you can climb up. Oh God. You can't climb up to find yourself. You have to find yourself so you can climb up. So you can be who you are before anybody knows who you are. So that means you could be rich while you're broke. You could be healed while you're sick. You could be loose while you're bound. It does not yet appear what you shall be. It hadn't showed up what you shall be, but you got to be it before you can get it. Woman, thou art. I know it looks like you're tied up. I know you've been bowled over for 18 years. I know your conditions don't validate you, but let me tell you about who you are. You are loose. Not gonna be loose, not shall be loose. You're loosed on the inside before you're loosed on the outside. I'm delivered right now. I'm whole right now. It so I can do it. I can do. I came to deliver a message to every person in this room who's had a struggle, who's had some pains, who's had some tests, who's got some creative ideas, but you've gone through some really tough stuff. Let me tell you something, the stuff you've been through, don't pay it any attention. It is just a sign that the baby is coming. You're on the verge of birthing. You're on the verge of birthing. You're on the verge of birthing. You're about to give birth. I want you to touch everybody you can reach and tell them the baby is coming. 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 You don't want to leave me now. The baby is coming. You don't want to walk out on me now. The baby is coming. I haven't had my best idea yet. I haven't had my most creative moment yet. I haven't produced my dream yet. I don't care whether you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, there's something down inside of you that's still kicking inside of you that wants to get out and it wants to live. It wants to live. The whole reason you're here today is because there's something in you that needs to be fed, that needs to be stirred, that needs to be electrified, that needs to be illuminated. There's something down inside of you crying, let me out! Let me out! Make some noise in this place! Yes, yes, yes! We are waiting on your water to break and for you to give birth to the greatest idea you have ever had! Make some noise in this place! Is going to miss it. They're going to miss it. They're going to miss the greatest part of you, the greatest part of your destiny, the greatest part of your creativity. It took everything you went through yesterday to get you ready for what you are about to do today. You are standing on the verge of a great awakening, or you wouldn't be here. If I'm talking to you, make some noise in this place. Businesses in you, companies in you, concepts in you, books to be written, paint.
paintings to be drawn, concepts to be birthed, ideas, creative concepts. There's something that you could do, that you could think in your life that would radically change your life. Somebody could take the hand you've been dealt and win with it. Same circumstances, same ideas. They would do it through what they thought about your life. But we don't need somebody, because we got you. We got you. You're the one. You are the one. I want you to join hands with somebody for just a minute. I'm telling you right now, if you are going to birth your dream, your calling, your passion, and the second half of your life, you can't draw back when life gets tough. You've got to stand up to it and push. Get that person by the hand, because there's something inside of them that is about to happen. Squeeze their hand. And when I count to three, I want every man and every woman that's got a concept, that's got an idea, I want you to push with all of your might until dreams and concepts and ideas start to birth out of you in the middle of the night. You're gonna need pens and pads by your bed tonight, because you're gonna have to get up in the middle of the night and start writing down all the stuff that's gonna start coming out of your spirit when this day is ready. Are you ready? One, two,
thank you guys so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed. I'd love to know, what did you take from this video that you're going to immediately apply somehow to your life or to your business? Leave it down in the comments below. I'm super curious to find out. I also want to give a quick shout out to Surge Wisdom. Thank you so much for picking up a copy of my book, Your One Word, and doing that animated chapter review on your YouTube channel. I really, really, really appreciate the support, man, and I'm so glad that you enjoyed the read. So thank you guys again for watching. I believe in you. I hope you continue to believe in yourself and whatever your one word is. Much love. I'll see you soon.
Always go to something bigger than yourself. I'm wondering if you've been defeated because you have been giving yourself wholly to something that was too small to hold you. Have you thrust yourself,
yes, sir,
into a glass of water?
Yes, sir.
Have you leaped off the diving board into a cereal bowl person? Are you not guilty of immersing yourself into things that were too small to hold your vision? Oh my God, this is so good, I'm gonna get to CD myself. Jesus sent him to throw himself into something that was bigger than his condition. And he had to go to get to it. He had to get out of his comfort zone. My problem is, so many times you've thrown big ideas at small people. You've given big commitment to cereal bowl people. And you're trying to get your sight back from a source that's too small to support what you're willing to put in. Is your investment bigger than the bank? You should see the way you're looking at me. Is the reason you keep being disappointed by people is that you have wholly thrown yourself into something that was too small. Jesus sends him to something that is bigger than himself so he can wash his eye. Are you trying to take a bath in a bowl?